Did you ever picture yourself in wearing a crown? The crown of life is promised to persevering followers of Jesus, according to James chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Brother David Johnson will tell us about that crown in his sermon today on this Words of Life program. This is the second sermon in a series that is planned in the study of the letter of James, which is included in the New Testament of the Bible. We are brought to you by Churches of Christ and other dedicated believers who want you to hear about Jesus on this radio program. We praise God in song at this time.
I would love to tell you what I think of Jesus, since I found in Him a friend so strong and true. I would tell you how He changed my life completely. He did something that no other friend could do. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. All my life was full of sin when Jesus found me. All my heart was full of misery and woe. Jesus placed His strong and loving arms about me, and He led me in the way I ought to go. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me. Every day He comes to me with new assurance. More and more I understand His words of love. But I'll never know just why He came to save me, till someday I see His blessed face above. No one ever cared for me like Jesus. There's no other friend so kind as He. No one else could take the sin and darkness from me. Oh, how much He cared for me.
Please pray with me. Holy Father, we bow ourselves before you in thankfulness for all that Jesus has done. We honor you, and all glory is yours as you have given us the Savior. We are concerned about people of faith who are persecuted because of their efforts to serve you. Bless each one of them with your protection and strengthen their faith. We also ask that you will provide personal healing and peace as is needed for each of our listeners. And please be with local elders and deacons and ministers as they share the good news of Jesus. Bless us today as we listen together to the sermon on the book of James. And thank you for listening to us. In the name of Jesus, amen.
Jesus to Calvary did go, his love for mankind to show. What he did there brought hope from despair, and oh, how he loves you. Oh, how he loves me. Oh, how he loves you and me.
We now hear Brother David Johnson's sermon entitled, Crown of Life.
Thank you for listening to this Words of Life broadcast of the truths, the precious promises, and prophecies of God. The title for the lesson is, Crown of Life. And our text is James chapter 1, verses 9 through 12. Please listen to the Word of God. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower. For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossoms falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business. Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him. In the preceding context, James exhorted joy and perseverance in trials and testings allowed by our God. Another character trait that promotes our perseverance is a humble, dependent spirit. Humility is something most of us have to work on, to be genuine in our humility. Surely James, in his earlier life, was self-righteously jealous of his older half-brother Jesus, especially when great crowds followed him during his public ministry. Once Jesus appeared to James in his glorified, resurrected body, James, no doubt, had to humble himself toward Jesus, whom he had not followed originally. Humility and hope can more readily come with dependent, needy circumstances. James wrote to edify his brethren, James chapter 1 and verse 9. The brother in humble circumstances ought to take pride in his high position. Undoubtedly, the vast majority of the scattered Jewish Christians who had to leave Jerusalem due to persecution became economically poor, at least for a long season. Some probably were somewhat well off, nevertheless, chose to leave their homes and most possessions when fleeing their persecutors. Perseverance can bring godly pride. James wrote this to encourage them. Forced into poverty, but overcoming faithfully in Jesus the Christ as Lord, as Messiah, can bring humble pride, not bitterness. That is a saintly pride, because remaining in Christ is a higher position than economic status. Would we today choose Christ over our possessions? Christians should rejoice in our high position in Christ, regardless of our economic status. Today, Christians are still often slandered. Paul wrote of believers in his day in 1 Corinthians chapter 4 and verse 13 that says in part, "We have become the scum of the earth, the refuge of the world." So to God in Christ, we have a high position. Yet we must remain humble because of our high position, which is due to Christ in us, not of ourselves, empowered to faithfulness and obedience by the Holy Spirit. Christians, in God's eyes, have high spiritual standing as adopted sons and daughters of God, heirs in Christ Jesus, with eternal life in the family of the Creator of the universe. That's a high position. Romans chapter 8 and verse 17 says, "Now if we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ, if indeed we share in His sufferings, in order that we may also share in His glory." We do not seek suffering, however. We must be willing to suffer for Christ, above and beyond the temporal, material things of this life, if need be, to persevere in our faith. Believers all have a high position, because as Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4, in part, "An inheritance that can never perish, spoil, or fade, kept in heaven for you." We may be rejected by men, but we are openly received by God, so that we remain rich in Christ our Lord. Jesus exhorted believers in Matthew chapter 5 and verse 3, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven." Poor in spirit means being humble, that we acknowledge our spiritual bankruptcy apart from God. We need godly wisdom, faith, and humility to be overcomers, persevering through the many trials of this life. To take pride, obviously, is a godly pride in the privilege of belonging to God regardless of our economic or social status. By God's grace, it should also humble us. Conversely, consider James chapter 1 and verse 10. "But the one who is rich should take pride in his low position, because he will pass away like a wild flower." James points out a reality of this life. Even the rich believer has to endure trials and is tested by God. Cancer is no respecter of wealth, for example. Persecution can come to all believers regardless of financial status. Rich Christians who embrace godly wisdom and humility can persevere also, knowing they must put their faith, their trust, and reliance in God, not in their wealth, which will eventually wither away like a wild flower. So James emphasizes with verse 11, "For the sun rises with scorching heat and withers the plant. Its blossom falls and its beauty is destroyed. In the same way, the rich man will fade away even while he goes about his business." So James here cautions against relying on the temporal, even riches of this life, that do not count into eternity. Human frailty is true, even of the rich man, who should humbly acknowledge their low position in these perishing mortal bodies. We all find wealth by developing, building our spiritual lives in faith, in joy, wisdom, and humility. James was a man of the book, as we should be. Possibly James, in his illustration, had in mind Isaiah chapter 40 and verses 6 through 8, of course, of the Old Testament, which says, "A voice says, cry out. And I said, what shall I cry? All men are like grass, and all their glory is like the flowers of the field. The grass withers and the flowers fall, because the breath of the Lord blows on them. Surely the people are grass. The grass withers and the flowers fall, but the word of our God stands forever." Applied to our text in James's epistle, we know whether poor or rich, all things, physical, material, are fleeting in this life. However, God's wise counsel is eternal, and it reveals wisdom to help us through each and every trial and testing. James vividly illustrated using flowers in Israel, which flourish in February and dry up by May. Neither poverty nor wealth is ultimately important. What is important is a faith relationship in the Lord, whatever the trial, which is the spiritual resource that can carry us all through, whether rich or poor. Trials are the great equalizer, bringing all believers, rich or poor, to dependence on God. Wealth does not bring God closer, nor does poverty drive God away. What counts is, as in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 19, "And my God will meet all your needs according to his glorious riches in Christ Jesus." God favors all his sons and daughters, regardless of station or status, in this life, as we humbly seek him in prayer and praise. Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16. "Let us then approach the throne of grace with confidence, so that we may receive mercy and find grace to help us in our time of need." As the poor brother in Christ recognizes his high position, so the rich brother acknowledges his low position, because both from opposite economic positions can be equals in faith in Christ Jesus. Humility becomes the facilitator for both. It's not physical, but spiritual resources from God that carry us through. Blessedness can be ours. James chapter 1 and verse 12. "Blessed is the man who perseveres under trial, because when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life that God has promised to those who love him." Blessed means much more than mere happiness. Blessed is a distinctive, exceptional joy that comes through personal participation with God. It's a deeper, inner rejoicing only God can give. For a deeper understanding of God's blessedness, consider Jeremiah chapter 17 and verses 7 through 8. "But blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose confidence is in him. He will be like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream. It does not fear when heat comes. Its leaves are always green. It has no worries in a year of drought and never fails to bear fruit." So blessedness is a deep abiding in our Lord. Blessedness is a faith so strong it brings joy regardless of circumstances. Perseverance is our victory over trial, to overcome the test, to be steadfast in our Savior. To be victorious is to receive from God the crown of life. The term crown here comes from an athletic, not royal, background. It was actually a wreath, like a crown placed on the victor's head in athletic events, symbolizing persevering triumph. According to Greek scholars, the original phrase could be translated, "the crown which is life," that is, eternal life. So a believer's faithful perseverance receives God's acceptance as his reward that gives evidence of saving faith. Perseverance is the product of our faith, and God is gracious by his grace to reward us with salvation unto eternal life. Perseverance doesn't save. That would be earning it. However, perseverance does verify saving faith through which God saves us by his grace as unmerited favor, usward. 1 Corinthians chapter 9 and verse 25. Everyone who competes in the games goes into strict training. They do it to get a crown that will not last, but we do it to get a crown that will last forever. Why? Because it's the crown unto eternal life with God. Revelation chapter 2 and verse 10 says in part, "Be faithful even to the point of death, and I will give you the crown of life." That is life eternal as our victor's crown. Notice that James closely connects faithful perseverance under trial with those who love him. Agape love, a sacrificial, selfless love toward the Lord Jesus, toward God. Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 8 through 9, "Though you have not seen him, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, you believe in him and are filled with an inexpressible and glorious joy, for you are receiving the goal of your faith, the salvation of your souls." There are so very many who claim to love the Lord, yet do not persevere when trials and testings come. Faith, love, and joy of the Lord are all intertwined, which God favors by his grace unto salvation. A born-again Christian demonstrates saving faith by ongoing loving obedience. That's the way it's demonstrated, a saving faith by love and or obedience to the Lord, because he is Lord of our lives. So finally, regarding crown of life, a Bible commentator believes this is not an allusion to the crown or garland wreath given to a winner or winners of the Greek games, as Paul illustrated in writing to Gentiles, which would be less appropriate for James writing to Jewish Christians who regarded Gentile usages with aversion. He states, this commentator states, James had in mind the crown as the life, the only true abundant life, even eternal life in Christ Jesus, which all nevertheless amounts to the very same thing. The crown of life is eternal life with God through faith by the grace of God. In Christ, all believers will be crowned with eternal life, which is well worth our persevering through faith through any and all trials, which will also be our crown of glory, as the Apostle Peter wrote in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 4, meaning the very same thing. The crown of glory is an eternity with the glorious one, our great God.
Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. Arca the heavenly anthem drowns all music but its own. Awake my soul and sing of him who died for thee, and hail him.
matchless King through all eternity. Crown him the Lord of life, who triumphed for the grave, who rose victorious in the strife for those he came to save. His glories now we sing, who died and rose on high, who died in eternal life to bring, and lives that death may die. Crown him the Lord of heaven, one with the Father known, and the blessed Spirit through him give from yonder glorious throne. Oh, hail, Redeemer, hail, for thou hast died for me. Thy praises and glory shall not fail throughout eternity. Throughout eternity.
Do you have the promise of the crown of life? If you are truly a believer in Jesus Christ as a Savior and the Son of God, please make note that the book of Acts shows that believers are to repent of sin, confess Jesus as Savior, and be baptized by immersion in water. To grow in faith, you also should worship our Lord with a good Bible-based group of believers. To receive a free recording of this and last week's program, ask for broadcast number 2028. That's 2028. It is our blessing to tell you that Words of Life is an international program heard on a variety of stations throughout the world. Our mailing address is Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Let me repeat that. Words of Life, Post Office Box 221, Sellersburg, Indiana 47172, USA. Please let us know the call letters of this radio station when you write. Our email address is wol1radio@gmail.com. That's wol1radio@gmail.com. You can listen to Words of Life programs anytime you want by logging on to our website at wordsofliferadio.net. That's wordsofliferadio.net. Our newsletter is also available on this page. This is Wayne Hobbs inviting you to tune in again next week for another program from Words of Life.
Sing now.